your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
We are back, Sactown Sports. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Hang on, 11:15, we have Brendan Nunez, our guy covering the Kings for Sactown Sports. He will be with us at 11:15 to talk about the game. He was in the Bay having a hopefully a decent time. I wonder what time he got back.
I was just thinking that.
We got the hardest workers in sports here.
Yeah.
The hardest workers.
For the playoff game, some of you guys were coming back at like 1 a.m. Like for Jason's sake, he was on the morning show. Some of y'all were crazy for that.
That's true.
It's insane.
That's true. You know, you got to stay true to it. Text line, as we talk about the Kings defense, and they stayed true to that last night. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough, being bested by a Klay Thompson midi, 102-101, but a great effort by the Kings defensively. Text line from the 209. That's the reason why Kevin Huerter couldn't shoot during the series versus the Warriors. He was too tired to shoot from chasing Steph around.
Kevin wasn't really guarding Steph that much in the playoff series. It was more Davion. And I mean, he definitely guarded him for a decent bit, but not, you know, it was mainly Davion and then Terrence Davis famously in game six and seven. So, you know, I'd love to have a good excuse for why Kevin struggled during that playoff series, but I don't think guarding Steph was one of them.
Yeah. Well, and going into this season, I guess they've only played, they've only played a couple teams, but you know, we're still waiting for Kevin Huerter to kind of get going.
He's got to have that breakout.
It felt like Keegan was more on Steph last night.
Yeah, it was. There was some Huerter on Steph yesterday, but it was probably like a 65.
And Huerter hit a couple. I mean, when we started out that homestand, what was that, against the Warriors with the donut?
Yeah.
That's when I think everybody was on high
alert.
So he definitely is making his way.
He's making shots, which is
It's just a matter of will he able to get to that level where other teams are having to game plan for him. From the 916, they're down with your moral victory talk, Chris.
Okay.
They say moral victory, 2 exclamation points. They also say porridge was warm, talking about our folk tale about the porridge being warm. The porridge wasn't warm. The porridge, we want it to be warm.
Yes.
The next time the Kings, I mean, play in general and play against the Warriors when you hopefully have De'Aaron Fox back, who, by the way, if you didn't hear, Shams Charania reported this morning De'Aaron Fox could be back as soon as Saturday. Chris and I discuss whether that's a good thing or bad thing. We know De'Aaron Fox is a dog and wants to be with his squad, and I'm sure it was tough. He was right there in a crispy crew, just like Chris had on, right? Looking good, hoping that the Warriors would not get that W, and then they get it on that last second shot. We wonder how much that has to do with De'Aaron Fox wanting to come back when it is a very, very long season. As we continue to talk about the defense for the Kings, here's some sound from Mike Brown on how they played Steph.
You're not stopping Steph Curry, but the reality of it is this is the best job I think we've ever done on Steph. and he was probably off or tired, I don't know, but you know, you got to give Keegan some credit for trying to step up and making Steph work for whatever he got, and you just keep it moving until the next day. But I'm proud of the effort that Keegan tried to give on that end of the floor and the results from it. We'll just see if he can continue doing it.
Last one. I like that. I like that, right? That goes into the category of Mike Brown seeing and I feel like he feels the same way as we do in terms of, hey, if you're only going to focus on defense like we've asked you to do, that's great. Now we know that you can get there defensively. Right. Yeah. The question is, how much are you going to lose offensively? Because we still need you. I mean, Keegan is their third best option when it comes to scoring. And as much as, you know, we've gone back and forth with Harrison Barnes, and Harrison Barnes a decent day, decent evening last night as well with 14 points. And he had a little stretch there when it was like, okay, Harrison, we know that feels good for you. That's probably not going to be enough.
No. I mean, I think, excuse me. I think that if they are going to focus that much on the defensive end, I mean, they frankly still need some sort of scoring power. Like you said earlier, like the calling card of this team is still the offensive end. And that's kind of that's the thing, that if that's not going, I don't know if the Kings are going to be able to win any night. And that's why yesterday was so surprising that they were even able to stay in that game without being able to knock down their shots. So I definitely think that if playing that level of defense leads to this level of shooting,
right,
I think they might need to, I wouldn't say dial back the defense a little bit, but just try and figure out more so how to keep their guys fresh better, because Keegan Murray plays 39 minutes yesterday, yeah, guarding Steph Curry and still trying to hold that offensive load that he's been holding for a majority of this season. That's just a really tough ask for a guy who's still, let's not forget, Keegan is only in his second year here.
Right,
like, he's kind of being thrown into the fire a little bit, especially in yesterday's game. That's a really, really tough ask, but I think it's good that he was at least able to, instead of being bad on offense and just trying to survive on defense, he was bad on offense and he didn't let that affect his defense either,
right,
especially for a young guy in his career. That can just murder your confidence. I mean,
right,
again, Keegan airballed a three, yeah, and had a couple that were just way off the side of the rim.
Yes, when a couple that were straight on threes, yeah, and like you said,
had,
yeah,
time.
The good shooters are either short or long, yeah, but they're online. They weren't even online, so you knew something,
yeah,
was off, and it's not that something was off. I think it was just his defense
legs
was on.
Legs were tired, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
His legs were just tired. Kevin Huerter, 1-for-5 from three-ball land. You get a great day from Davion Mitchell, 3-for-7. Get a great day from Harrison Barnes, 4-for-7,
yeah,
from three-ball land. So, you know, you give and take with this stuff, but, and again, Vezenkov, who is a guy, I think the thing is, and again, the line was 7.5, right? So Vegas did not think that the Kings were going to really fairly competitive,
yeah,
right? But we knew and we believed that we thought the Kings would have something ready to go, but yeah, we also knew that so many things would have to go right.
Yeah.
A lot of those things, when you talk about that checklist, a lot of those things they did, our checklist was mostly about things that they haven't been doing.
Yeah.
The problem is the things that they had been doing are the things that we thought would eventually
remain.
Would remain did not happen.
Yeah.
With all that being said, they still led the game, yeah, until that last second shot by Klay Thompson. Vezenkov, I think we expected a little bit more from him. We did bold predictions. I don't know if that was on anybody's radar, but I think we expected him to at least make one three.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, this is the thing that you can't have happen when it comes to Kevin Huerter, right? And I love, yes, 9 rebounds, that's great. I'm sorry, man. I don't care. And I want to know if Mike Brown said anything to Kevin Huerter. I know he's been struggling, but we heard the story about Keegan Murray when he almost took him out. The problem is you're running out of body, so Kevin Huerter could not be taken out. Because the story, for those of you who don't know, against the Lakers, when Keegan Murray was about to get pulled for Vezenkov because he passed up a three, and then later on in the game, or that same situation, yeah, Keegan took the shot and Mike Brown sent Vezenkov to the bench. I'm telling you, I don't care if Davion is 3-for-6 and Kevin Huerter, you are 1-for-5. With De'Aaron Fox out,
yeah,
Kevin Huerter, I cannot have you passing the ball to Davion Mitchell, passing up an open shot, yeah, for Davion to chuck it.
Sure.
That, yeah, can't happen.
So I was going to ask you about this too, because Keegan Murray was 0-of-7 from 3. All of those three-point attempts came in the first half. He did not take a single three-point attempt in that second half. I know that because might or might not have had a Prize Picks on Keegan Murray to take over 9. And in the first half, I was like,
that's a wrap.
We want to talk about checklist.
Yes.
I was like, all right, cool. That one's good.
Yes.
Keegan didn't take a single three in that second half. And
wow.
While, of course, I was rooting for him to take threes for a different reason, I felt like that was a sign of defeat for him. And I didn't like to see that. Mm-hmm. And I know you're 0-of-7. It makes total sense to not take any more threes,
right,
because clearly, again, yeah, you said normally shooters, they're if when shooters are locked in, they're either missing short and they're missing long.
Yeah.
Keegan was left, right, all over the place, so he clearly wasn't locked in. But on a night where De'Aaron's not playing, I think you kind of have to just power through that. And it's not like Keegan completely shut down. He still took twos. He was taking fadeaways. He was taking Dirk turnaround,
yeah,
jumpers over Steph.
He was taking runners.
Runners.
Yeah.
Just everything. So it's
right,
not like he lost the sense of aggressiveness, but it didn't feel like – it felt like he gave up on the three-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still a big weapon for Keegan. And in the second half, it's like – especially when you're a shooter at Keegan's caliber, it feels like you knock down one – maybe get to the free throw line another time. You just see the ball go through the net. I would have just liked to see him try and find the rhythm because, again, in a night like last night, the Kings just need one or two more Keegan Murray threes and the game goes a different way. So,
yeah,
of course, I still like the fact that Keegan kept the aggressiveness. He was still taking shots, not threes. He was still defending on the other end. But I just kind of I felt like he gave up on his three-point attempts a little bit too early in that one.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. And that goes to the question of should you have drawn something up for him, make sure he gets back in the mix, because one, you know, and we've heard the sound from Mike Brown, and again, it's one of 82, but I don't think Mike Brown is, we're not doing blame pie here, but this is just how the game went. Honestly, the Kings aren't as young as the Thunder or one of those teams, but they are a younger team. Mm-hmm. And the team AARP there in the Bay with the Warriors, they are the opposite of young in their season, and they know how to handle things down the stretch.
Yeah.
Because towards the end, when that foul, the Sabonis foul that wasn't a foul that a lot of people think was a foul, when the Kings got the ball back and Mike Brown calls a timeout, what in the world was that play call?
I have no idea.
It was to Harrison in the middle of the floor?
I love Jay Triano, but I don't think that was – I think the play call was to just give it to Sabonis and have him go to work with 2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Because it seemed like they – I think Herter lobbed the ball to HB, who was like at the top of the key.
Right.
And HB like pretty much grabbed it and looked like he was going to immediately dump it down to Sabonis. So that leads me to believe the play was initially for Domas to get the ball there, and then HB just kind of – I mean, you know, there's 2 seconds left. So after he didn't get the pass off, he was like,
I thought, I thought they might have tried to run something for JaVale or something
And the
that.
Last play was, I didn't love that last play.
Yeah.
The lob attempt to Malik, I guess.
So both
didn't make a lot of sense.
Right. So both, I think they tried to like, they knew everybody would be looking for JaVale.
Right. And so they kind of backdoored it a little bit.
Right. But before that, the toss to HB in the middle of the floor, because I think that had a really low shot clock. They had, they didn't have a lot of time left on the shot clock. And it just, it was just a bizarre play.
It was ugly.
I got to get to a break. When we get back, Brendan Nunes joins us, Kings reporter, Sactown Sports. We'll continue to break this thing down. Then a little bit later, we're going around the NBA. 12 o'clock, we are revisiting the keys that we keep talking about from the Kings. And 12:15, we're still going to do it. Beaming or dreaming, get them ready. Text line, YouTube chat, call line. Beaming or dreaming, Stiles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Your home for Kings basketball for over 25 seasons.
Sactown Sports.
We are back, Sactown Sports, here with our guy, Brendan Nunes, Kings reporter for Sactown Sports. And Brendan, you were in the Bay yesterday, had to cross that bridge and get on over there. First of all, how was the experience being the I know you did it a lot for the playoffs, but how was the experience being the away media? I haven't done that yet, so how was that?
Yeah, it was all right. I don't love Chase Center, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, it was a fine experience, you know. I like Golden 1 Center, is what I'll say.
Sure.
You know, seating and maybe just navigating the stadium and all that.
Right.
But it was a fun game. It was pretty back and forth. Sacramento was extremely competitive. I think a lot of people were pessimistic going into it, obviously, with De'Aaron Fox out, thought that Golden State could maybe just sort of run over them, but they had their own complications. You know, third game in 4 nights, they just were in Houston, in New Orleans, 1 day off before they're back in Golden State. Now they're back on the road again to Oklahoma City, by the way. So, you know, complications for both sides, and it was a good back-and-forth battle.
Just in general, what do you think about Davion's performance? Obviously, a lot of eyes on him filling in for De'Aaron.
Yeah, he was fine. He did sort of as expected, right? Like, well, I guess the three-point shot was better than fine, going 3 of 6 and really knocking down those first two. He made it clear that he was going to shoot when defenders went under him at practice the day prior, and he was doing that and knocking it down. He also said that he told us post-game that Domas was telling him, like, don't force your shots, you know, sort of just find it within the rhythm, and that he listened to that. So I thought he did sort of as expected. You know, there wasn't anything that was, like, new for Davion necessarily, maybe some of those threes. I did think it was kind of fitting that, you know, he played good defense on that last possession and was just a little
too small. Too short.
And Clay let him know.
He let him
know. Did he hit him with the too short?
On
the
way back, though. And he rocked the baby.
Where was that? That was pretty late,
though. It was after he turned. So, yeah, he made the shot.
That's soft to me.
Draymond and him went back and forth. And then,
do it to his face, Clay.
Yeah, yeah.
We thought this was a revised Clay after all the podcasts. And that I actually missed that. I saw something about it, but didn't fully watch. That's soft, Clay. Be better.
Yeah.
Be better.
Funny, Davion postgame even said, honestly can't do any better than that. I mean, I ain't tall enough to block it.
He's not lying.
He's not wrong.
So is that his, this is just right, kind of the but, problem. So yeah. They had who on that play?
They blitzed Herter Steph. Or
yeah, who was on Steph?
I don't remember off the top of my head, to be honest. I'd imagine it was Keegan, and then they had to blitz Steph. They got the ball out of his hands, and Clay made the play.
Rest is history. As
yeah, rest is history. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Clay, on the night, he was 1 of 4 from three-ball land, 6 of 15. He had 14 points. I mean, it wasn't like he was lighting the Kings up like that 37-point quarter or anything.
Oh my gosh.
You just had to live with it, and that's what the Kings did, and unfortunately, Clay got him. And, you know, he let him know, where are you at, as Chris very beautifully broke down the moral victory and brought me back, because I was not on that side. I'm not fully on that side, but I'm closer than I was. Where are you at in terms of the moral victory situation?
I do agree with you guys. It depends how you define it, mm-hmm. right? So I think that you can feel okay about that game, but when it comes down to it, what matters is wins and losses. And you left that with one more in the L column than you came in with. So, yeah. You know, I think that you can feel okay. You fought. There's positives to take, but they all seemed pretty down after that game, you know. They did mention, you know, like, I think they seemed frustrated. They didn't seem disappointed, but just frustrated that it wasn't a win, right? Like, they acknowledged that the defense was better and maybe just shots didn't quite go down on offense. It was really three guys that made pretty much all of their threes. And so, I don't know. I think there's good things to take. You can feel okay about your performance, but I mean, it's just about wins and losses. They didn't get it. Like, Coach usually talks forever. As you guys know, he gave us like 3 minutes at most. No opening statement, straight to it. And was very short. Which is not typical for Coach.
Yeah, that's
let me
not
say.
Typical. Yeah, usually
not even close.
Especially in that building too. Usually he's like, you know, you could tell it's a little family reunion vibe, and he's all happy to see everyone, you know, and he's so if he wasn't feeling it yesterday, that's definitely not nothing. That's definitely something. What did you think about Keegan yesterday and just the shots he took? Obviously, you know, he was guarding Steph for a big portion of yesterday's game, but was 0 of 7 from 3. What did you think about his shots and just in general for this season? It's really clear that he's being more aggressive looking for that shot, especially coming off of Domas' screens. It feels like anytime he has even a step of open space, he's going to take it. Definitely a lot more of some off-balance looks, which I don't mind because I think Keegan is good enough to have it essentially not matter. But what have you thought about Keegan's just shot attempts really throughout this season?
Yeah, I mean, he was averaging just under 10 threes a game coming into that. He shot 7 in that one, didn't knock down a single one of them. I think you mentioned, right, he didn't shoot any in that second
half.
Not a
single one.
Which is kind of crazy. I felt like he was forcing a little bit. You know, I probably should have asked about this post-game, maybe at practice today, but that, you know, De'Aaron was out. I'm sure they wanted some guys to be more aggressive,
That's what I was thinking.
It almost seemed like there was potentially a conversation with Keegan of like, we want you to get more shots up. And even before De'Aaron went down, you know, Keegan's averaging almost 10 threes a game and Coach is on him to shoot more.
Right.
Like, every time you're open, if you do not shoot it, I'm going to take you out the game. So I think that he's been taking good shots. It seemed like he was maybe forcing a little bit yesterday, but He did good things on defense, and I thought that his finishing inside the arc was still okay. Mm-hmm. You know, he was still trying to be aggressive, so I like the aggressiveness. It was just maybe like forcing a little bit, and in my mind, that was probably because De'Aaron was out.
Right.
Yeah, forced early, and then when things didn't fall, kind of shied him away from it. I think what's missing in Keegan's game, and not to take it here, and I also had talked about this last night, was just when Klay Thompson or some of these bigger guards get smaller guards on them, they have basically a mini post package. And I think like Keegan needs something like that for when Steph is on him. You know, I don't think he has that yet. I think he'll get it, but it's not necessarily post up, but it's getting to your spot to get the mid-range going. So I think that's what's next for him. So the other guy, and they combined for 21 points together, which that's just not going to fly, is Kevin Herter. And we all felt good for Kevin Herter after he knocked down that dagger against the Lakers. And yes, he had 9 rebounds in this game. And I know Boardman gets paid, but you are not paying Kevin Herter to get rebounds. He still looks lost to me. He's passing up open shots for Davion Mitchell with De'Aaron Fox out. That's just not going to fly. What more can be done to try to get Kevin Herter back on track?
Yeah, I think he did okay. The three-point shot needs to go down more for sure because that's his money maker,
that's why he's
right?
On the floor.
That's
right.
What he does. And I still think that even when the shot's not going down, he gets defended like an elite three-point shooter,
yep.
So he still brings that spacing. I do think the rebounding shouldn't just be looked over necessarily. Domas did joke post-game that, like, you know, like, he's like, he stole a couple,
but I'll let him
get away with it.
Was he joking?
No, I think he was serious,
like
but he laughed
serious.
A little bit.
Right, right.
But that's part of, like, how you... go against a guy like Looney, best offensive, right. One of the best offensive rebounders in the league. It's like, okay, I'm going to get him out the way, and you make sure you come and grab this. But like Kevin's obviously been more aggressive on the boards recently. So I don't think that's not nothing. A couple assists in there. Like I didn't feel like he stuck out in a bad way necessarily yesterday, except for maybe like some shots that you wish would have gone down. So I feel like he's gone okay. And a lot of the conversation around Kevin in preseason was like, well, we have Duarte right here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't look great,
knocking
man.
On the door, yeah.
Like, he looked fine on defense. He fouls a lot, which I think will calm down a little bit. But offensively, it's like, I can remember two possessions yesterday where it's like he gets a stop and then it's just like, whoa, dude, relax a little bit on the other end.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I don't know that you necessarily have a better option right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point.
What do you think this morning Shams came out and said that De'Aaron might play as soon as Saturday? What are kind of your thoughts on the Saturday day, I won't call it a deadline, but the Saturday timeline and just De'Aaron attacking this rehab or this injury in general? What are your thoughts?
It's pretty quick.
Pretty quick.
And it's Houston.
Right.
You know,
it's not
like,
a coincidence.
I don't think Houston is as sorry as they were last year for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually think Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet are pretty big gets for them. They have some veteran leadership.
He may as well.
They got good coaching. So I don't think they're sorry necessarily, but like De'Aaron's supposed to get his high school jersey retired during that trip. You know, that's home for him. That's the closest stadium to home. They have one day in between while they're there. I don't know. I guess if he's good to go, then it's fine. But he, you know, kind of has a history of... He has the competitive spirit that Coach Brown loves, right? He wants to play as soon as possible, but sometimes you can hurt yourself with that.
Exactly.
And so I'd imagine that if the coaching staff is not going to allow him unless he passes all the tests is what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. So if he feels fine, he passes everything, then I guess cool. But I personally would hold him out for the Houston games, just precautionary. And if you do care about that play-in game or the in-season tournament
I'm
game,
telling you.
Which they might, then... give him the one game to get back in rhythm before or something.
That's
the Portland game at home, you know? I thought there was a chance they maybe don't even travel him, right? Like, you don't want to put a guy on a plane, but it sounds like they're going to, obviously.
Yeah,
I mean, I would play it safe, but if he passes all the tests and feels good, then I guess it's fine.
Yeah, but is he traveling if it's not Houston?
Probably not.
That's what I wonder.
Yeah,
I don't think so either. Last one for you, Brendan. Malik Monk, he is a dog, and we've had this conversation before with – what he's been able to do. He was great last night. I had a feeling he would be. He's a guy who likes to silence a crowd, and Draymond being out there, and he didn't play great against the Warriors on Friday. Do you think we're having conversations throughout the course of this season about Malik being a starter? Or do you think he's just so well fit for that sixth man, that guy off the bench? And I do have him as sixth man of the year, so I'd like for him to stay there. But do you think that there will be conversations about him coming off the bench?
Yeah, I like your sixth man of the year. I'll roll with you on that one. I think that, you know, Coach ranted the other day, day before game day, about like how difficult it is to bring Malik into that starting lineup because what he provides off the bench is so hard to replicate. That playmaking is so important. And I think it's just about who closes games, right? And I think that if the question was sort of swapped to that, I think often, even last year, we saw Malik closing games, you know, whether that's in place of Kevin, maybe at sometimes that's in place of Harrison or Keegan if one of those guys isn't getting it done that night. So I don't think that we'll see a conversation of the starting lineup. Coach has made it pretty clear he likes him off that bench. I think there's some logic there. I did think he was kind of disappointing, though, yesterday, I will
say. Yesterday?
I did think so.
Like, well,
he was scoring, I guess. But they really needed the playmaking.
Mm-hmm.
He had three turnovers, two assists. Like, I just didn't feel like he was setting up guys in that same way.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of how Golden State defends, right? They try to really take away that ball movement and make you play more isolation basketball. You saw Domas be pretty aggressive, which, by the way, I don't feel like we're talking about enough. The Kings lost by 1 point and Domas missed 5 free throws.
Chris got it. Maybe I missed that part, but
word for word.
Yeah, I thought I think Malik is going to be expected to come off the bench. I wish the playmaking was a little bit better last night, but he was one of the few guys actually hitting threes. So
right. That was basically just the story of last night for the Kings. They did certain things, just didn't do it everything, didn't do everything which they kind of needed to in order to overcome your all NBA superstar not being up to play against a team with another superstar. And he's probably the only one on the Warriors at this point. Superstar would be Steph, but still a solid team who's also been rolling. So, Brendan Nunes, thank you, Sactown Sports Kings reporter. Go get some sleep, man. Hardest working man at the station.
He's got to go to practice right now.
Well, he's got to go to practice, then get some sleep. Go catch a power nap before. Thank you, Brendan. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll be right back. Styles and Watkins.
Sactown Sports.
Headlines.
Good morning, Sacramento. My name is Kyle Ledbetter, and these are your Sactown Sports headlines. Guys, the Golden State Warriors got us again.
On a double-team blitz, finds Draymond Green, pivots, throws to Thompson. Thompson rocks, fires, 18-footer, score the basket! 0.2 seconds to go! It's not Curry, it's the other Splash Brother, it's Klay Thompson!
Even in the loss, the Sacramento Kings held the Golden State Warriors to a season-low 18 points in the third quarter, and Davion Mitchell broke out with 13 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 steals, starting for the injured De'Aaron Fox. In baseball, the Texas Rangers are World Series champions after winning Game 5 versus Arizona. Corey Seager won his second World Series MVP with his second team. He won it in 2020 with the Dodgers and now in 2023 with the Rangers. Those are your headlines. Let's return to more of Styles and Watkins right here on Sactown Sports.
Your flagship station for the Beam Team, Sactown Sports.
We're back. Sactown Sports, Styles and Watkins taking up to 2 p.m. 6th official show. Thank you very much to Brendan Nunes for hanging out with us, chatting, working hard. I think you left his backpack in here. Is that yours?
That's mine.
Okay, that's
Chris's. That'd be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Brendan, you don't got to come back in. That's not your backpack. As he heads off to practice, and we'll probably have some good sound from that practice and another update on De'Aaron Fox. So hang around for that. We have some news quickly, and we'll get into it a little bit later in the show around 1:30. Debo on Up and Adams, Kay Adams' show, where he is featured every week. All these guys are doing, I guess Pat McAfee started it because now Aaron Rodgers is on every week.
Yep.
Debo's getting cashed out, I would assume. That's the move to me.
Yeah.
It's not the podcast. I would do a feature, if I were an athlete, I would do a feature every week because you know Up and Adams, you know they're cashing them out.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to worry about people getting really upset about you doing it during the season, like Micah Parsons or Draymond Green. You just do your thing. You show up. You still get the same sound bites. Because I don't like how many people that aren't Cowboy fans are firing up Micah Parsons' full podcast. I don't know.
I don't know. The Bleacher Report app keeps sending me all these notifications for it.
It's just enough. And I'm sure he's getting cashed out. It's enough. But Debo says that he's ready to go, which is a great sign, and not because they, especially because they have a bye.
Right.
Getting back into Kings Talk, 916-339-1140. Let's go out to Ken, who wants to talk Golden State versus the Kings as Golden State beats the Kings 102-101. What's up, Ken? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen, man? Last night it was a beautiful game, man. I had called in yesterday, and, you know, the question was, what's the formula that the Kings needed last night to beat the Warriors? Hey, man, I called it right, man, but it was the one thing that they didn't do. The nemesis, they didn't score in the fourth quarter. Mm. You know, kind of fell off in the third, but they did everything right, man. They held Curry. We didn't do our season average. What our season average? 120, 125? We lessened the possessions, because that's also one thing I mentioned, to lessen the possessions and play good defense. I think the Kings are in a good place right now, especially by being so early in the season and your star goes down. You want to see where your team at, where your team is at early. You know what I'm saying? So late in the season, they already know, they understand their role. You know, I'm proud of the Kings. I'm proud of the way they're being coached right now. I'm proud of the way Keegan Murray has stepped up his game. I mean, I'm looking forward to a good year. Last night, I know we can look at all the good things, but we want the victory at the end of the day because it was a heartbreaker. But, hey, man, at the end of the day, man, our Kings is, hey, man, they testing, they passing all the tests, man.
Great call.
Yes.
Great call from Ken.
Ken, love it. That's awesome. I love the positivity. I love, and thank you for being on my moral victory
right,
side.
Right,
right.
Chris has got it going today.
I'm telling you, man. Like, it's just, yeah, like, again, they didn't get the result, but the process was there, man. Like, they did what they had to do in order to put themselves in a situation to win. And the thing they had to do was be a team that they haven't been before in the past. Like, right. That was a brand new experience for this Kings team. We have not seen them slow the possessions down, like Ken mentioned. Like, there was a lot of possessions that the Kings took all the way down to, like, the bottom of the shot clock. It was a lot of, okay, give the ball to Sabonis, and then everyone work around him, cut, get around, you know, let him set a dribble handoff screen. And that stuff takes time to develop. And normally, of course, with De'Aaron Fox, the fastest player in the league, you're going to have some possessions where Sabonis is going to do that thing. But a lot of times it's let's get to the rim as fast as possible and let's get into the offense, everything quick, quick, quick. And yesterday wasn't the case. They won, or tried to win, I should say, as a moral victory win. Mm-hmm. They played by limiting possessions and by playing defense. And that's almost the complete opposite of what this Kings calling card was. So the fact that, you know, they were able to fight in a different style, I think is a massive, massive positive. Of course, you would love to get the result, but at the same time, the ability to play or to fight in a different style, if you will, I think that's a major plus and a bonus for this team that's also still growing. This is not a Kings team that was in the conference finals last year and they have one singular goal. This is still a building process, and I think yesterday was a great step in a building process. Having your guys be able to compete against a really good team without your star and be seconds away from pulling out a victory, that's a win. That is a major win in the process.
Yeah, it's hard to... It's hard to be upset, right? I guess the other part of it is the opposite. If you do feel bad today because they weren't able to get it done, just think about how bad you would have felt if they got their doors blown off.
Exactly.
Right? And if they just didn't even compete and they didn't show up. And honestly, we talked a little bit about it even yesterday. We wanted the victory, wanted to see the beam, but a lot of it was just be competitive throughout the whole thing.
Yep.
Right? And where it did start to... You know, great call on Ken's part, where it did start to kind of get a little shaky, and Malik Monk talked about it as well, was at the end of the third and in that fourth quarter offensively. And who normally takes off in the fourth?
Well, in the third, De'Aaron, right.
De'Aaron. So there's no De'Aaron. That was the situation where they
lean on him. Like, it's almost like it truly is his quarter.
Right. So Palms got a little sweaty. Yep. There was nobody that was really rolling enough to feel like, okay, well, now I can take over. And it turned into a little bit of hot potato. And Sabonis did what he could do. But in this game, especially when you're playing the Warriors, you're not going to beat the Warriors with twos, right? And that's what Sabonis was bringing to the table. Not able to get the three ball going, so you're not able to get it done. But again, if you play like that and you're able to hold the Warriors, a very good offensive team, down, and you do have a De'Aaron, you got to feel good about where they're at. Now, again, are you able to hold Steph under 30? Maybe not. But even if Steph gets 30 that next time you play and you have De'Aaron, the Kings probably still win that game.
I would think
And you're probably not going to get 15 from Dario Saric, who honestly could not hit. He could not hit threes throughout the whole course of the season. And today and last night was his coming out party. So, I mean, good on them for getting it done. Good on the Kings for, you know, sticking with it and finding a way to just hang around and just giving themselves an opportunity to win. And hopefully, again, fourth game of the season, hopefully moving forward, you feel like, hey, we remember that game against, hopefully De'Aaron's not out again, but remember that game against the Warriors when this happened and that happened, we weren't able to pull it out and Kevin's legs were a little heavy and Keegan's legs were a little heavy because they were chasing around ex-superstar. Well, now we can refer back to that and we're going to do this differently. We're going to do that differently. Mm-hmm. So it's all a learning experience. And, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, well, that's loser talk or whatever it is. Well, it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And again, it is a long season. Yeah. We would not be talking like this if it was game number 75. No. We would not be talking about this if it was game number 82.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very early on in the season. Yeah. And to your point, Chris, this is not a team that's a perennial playoff team. This is a team still a bit wet behind the ears and trying to find their footing as a contender in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I just say that Brendan did make me feel a little bit less good about the moral victory stance when he pointed out the Warriors' run of play recently when he was like, oh, yeah, they're actually coming back from a really terrible road trip, and this is literally just a stop back at home. And let's not forget Steph Curry dropped 42 points last game against the Pelicans. So like Mike Brown said, maybe Steph was a little bit tired and the Kings did get the Warriors on a pretty advantageous night for the Kings. But, you know, whatever. The both teams were playing under bad circumstances.
That's right.
And, you know, what happened happened. But I'm still feeling massively positive. Well, but that definitely did a little sprinkling of like, ooh, that's a counter right
there. Well, don't get me wrong. And, you know, I am the king, no pun intended, of two things can be true.
Yeah.
And as much as it can be a moral victory, it still was a missed opportunity, in my opinion.
Right.
It still was a missed opportunity because of those things that Brendan highlighted and just the game in general. If you just watch the game, the Warriors looked like they had been playing that much.
Kings were up late in that fourth quarter. I mean, they were only up three, but they still had the lead down the stretch of that game. And, you know, they were trading baskets with the Warriors back and forth. You could argue if the Kings get one stop in that last 3 minutes of the game and then score, make that a 5-point game.
Yeah.
I think they kind of have it sealed at that point. And what happened? Gary Payton took a weird runner in the paint.
Yo,
The Draymond back cut, and then the Clay shot.
That Gary Payton floater had me sick to my stomach.
That was a King special. That shot specifically only goes in against the Sacramento
Specifically.
Kings. It only goes in against
the Kings. Gave me Patrick Ewing vibes when he was at Georgetown. Do you practice that shot?
Gary Payton does not
practice that shot. I can guarantee. I guarantee.
A fadeaway, I think it was like across his, it was almost like a running hook.
First of all, I've only seen Gary Payton dribble about six times in my whole life. And he's in the lane taking a floater. I'm thinking, what type of sorcery is this?
Yeah.
Even the Steph shot right before Domas' bank, it like hits the front rim, hits the front rim again, and falls in.
The members only roll. But to be fair, if we're going to talk about it like this, Domas did bank it in.
The bank was open,
I guess. Chase was
not
open.
Ideal.
So everybody, the end of that game was a bit wonky, but that Gary Payton shot, do you practice that shot? Because
no
I'm telling you,
bro,
that man does not.
When he
not,
hit that, I was like, this is
not it.
Trauma.
As soon as that happened, I thought, oh, I don't like this. GP2 with the runner?
Yep.
Give me a break. Come on. All right, got to get to a break. Styles and Watkins, when we get back, taking a trip around the NBA. That's what's up next and much more. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday. Sacktown Sports.
We're back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We have Kevin Dana of the Santa Cruz Warriors, play-by-play guy, also does a Warriors roundtable. That's at 12:45. Beaming or dreaming, 12:15. Beaming or dreaming. I'm stuck right now. I don't know which way I'm going to go. I think I know which way you're going to go.
We'll see.
And Kyle, I never know which way Kyle's going to go. As we take a trip around the NBA, LeBron James.
Never heard of him. Never in my life.
I think he's pretty good.
LeBron James with a 35-point game. So that game was on a little bit after, it was still going when the Kings and Warriors game ended. And, you know, the Lakers, and LeBron's done this for years. He has mastered he's literally a boxer, right? Head body. He is literally a boxer in that he hangs around.
Yep.
He just kind of gives.
Stays in the fight.
Lets you get ahead. He tried to do it against the Kings, but the Kings ended up getting the victory, but they did end up tying it up. Where he's just feeling it out. He's taking punches. He's feeling out the team. He lets you get ahead by 10, whatever it is.
And rope-a-dope.
He's done it with multiple teams.
Yeah.
Multiple teams. And I think the older he's gotten, the more he's just conserving his energy. So you're looking up, and the Clippers are winning. Wow, okay, the Clippers. And James Harden didn't play because why would he? Because he doesn't actually like basketball.
No,
he just likes being a star. So James Harden is not playing. He's just on the bench. But the Clippers are doing their thing. Paul George, they're making shots, Kawhi Leonard. Then all of a sudden I look up and it's a 5-point game. Then all of a sudden I look up and the Lakers are winning. And the Lakers win, and I just don't know what to do with this human being.
I mean, is he a human being? Are we sure that LeBron at this point is?
I don't know, man.
Are we seriously built from the same cloth? Because it doesn't feel like it. I mean, he's ridiculous. I mean, the fact that they threw away that what was Darvin Ham's plan at the beginning of the 28 minutes they were planning to play him.
Yeah,
I think yesterday he played 42 or something like that. Of course, they went into overtime, but. Yeah, I mean he's different. The fact that the Lakers are even brought up in contention talk,
right,
is solely because LeBron James is that ridiculous. Like he knows and he's so smart. Like you're saying, he attacks the game differently. Right. Like there's Tom Brady famously talks about, you know, in the Super Bowl, you have to almost treat that game like it's an own individual entity, mm-hmm. because the halftime show is so long, the commercial breaks are so long. It's almost like a completely different rhythm than any other football game you're going to play.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're describing with how LeBron attacks every single game, it feels like nowadays, where he'll have like 12 points heading into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And then he just takes that opportunity to be like, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm faster, and now I have more energy than you do right now because you've been giving it all for 36 minutes, and I'm just getting going right now.
Right.
So he's just figured out how to win the game mentally, and that's what makes him able to do this in year 21. I saw a StatMuse tweet earlier yesterday that said, you know, in year 21, the highest points per game total was Dirk at 7 points per game. LeBron's averaging 24 right now. So, like, he's doing things. I mean, he's already been doing things that we've never seen before. Yeah. But the level that he is still at this point in time in his career, it's unheard of. It's insane. And, like, I mean, at what point do we stop trying to put limitations on this guy? Because clearly he just figures out how to remain effective even at 38, soon to be 39 years old. It's insane.
It really is. And, you know, to take a step back, just looking at some of the athletes that we have, depending on what generation you are, that we have been able to see, it's really been incredible. Because our age, we were basically towards the end of Michael Jordan. I got
Wizards Jordan.
I got Wizards Jordan, too. Really. I actually have a hat signed by Michael Jordan from the Wizards.
I got Jordan's Hall of Fame press conference. That's all I got.
You're young. We know. All right. You got that. So you got a little bit of Jordan there. And then, and this is just basketball. I mean, there's so many other sports. Tom Brady,
yep.
Tiger Woods,
nuts.
All these guys, Barry Bonds, right?
Yep.
And if you're looking specifically,
Patrick Mahomes,
shoot. If you're looking specifically at basketball, to have LeBron James, Steph Curry as well, it's really
KD.
Just a battle.
It's
KD, it's a battle of which one of these guys is truly going to slow down. And Steph is a smidge younger than LeBron, and obviously they play completely different types of basketball. But yeah, man, LeBron and seeing him in person for the first time, I mean, it's really just he's learned to just do things his way and manipulate the way he plays to what's going to fit kind of his where he is in his journey, in his career. So it's ridiculous, and it makes me sick to talk positively about LeBron on the basketball court. Off the basketball court, love what he's done and all that jazz, but just – you know, it's been crazy to watch. And speaking of the Jazz, they handed the Grizzlies another L. They got spanked by the Jazz, 109-133. Whew. And the Grizzlies are the only winless team in the NBA, the only one. So when you talk about the teams where you can't just roll the ball out, and they'll figure it out, they get Ja back. Now they're what? They got 20 more games until they get Ja back, but they could be 20. They might be 20 games exactly. back of anybody else. You move off of Tyus Jones. I think that was a mistake. I think he is a very high level backup point guard. You bring in Marcus Smart. I don't know what's going on there. Clearly, it hasn't been much.
Nope.
So Jaren Jackson is one of the most confusing players in the history of basketball. And you talk about ugly shots.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
when he's
disgusting.
Playing the Warriors, I'm just thinking, again, I will just let you shoot.
Yeah.
And it goes in.
Yeah.
But apparently it hasn't been going in lately because they can't get a W. So that's pretty brutal. So, I mean, would you say that's another team? Is it too early to say that's another team that the Kings don't have to worry about?
I would say so. I mean, I know the Kings started 0-4 last year and they were able to turn things around, but this is not that situation. Like you said, they don't have Ja for another 20 games.
Right.
So they need to figure it out in the interim. Mm-hmm. And then once Ja comes back, they need to be established and ready to go. for Ja to also enter the situation, because what's probably going to happen is they'll figure it out around the time that Ja comes back, because right. they do have talent on their roster, and you know they should be in contention at least for a play-in at this point. They have that kind of talent, but it's going to take them some time when Ja comes back. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to, not only is it going to take time right here, right now, to figure out how to play without Ja, but when Ja comes back and they've been playing for 25 games without him, finally figuring out how to get results.
Right.
That's when Ja's going to come back, and then they're going to have to relearn everything and figure out how to integrate him into the lineup.
Yeah.
Desmond Bane's been playing really well. Does he have to take a step back? Does he, at this point, does he deserve to take a step back? Because, you know, Ja hasn't been the most reliable guy for them over the past calendar year. Mm-hmm. And you know, how much can you really... I'm not that Ja's going to run into this situation again, hopefully not, but like Desmond Bane has just done nothing but play great for them, and it right. feels wrong to take shots away from him because, you know, Ja made a mistake, and Desmond Bane's going to be the thing that keeps them afloat. So I don't think Memphis is completely out of the equation, but in terms of like, will Memphis be a two seed or a team that is dangerous in the eyes of the Kings? I don't think so. I don't think that they're the team that they were last year.
Right.
And let's not forget they don't have Steven Adams all year either.
Right. And, you know, speaking of having an investment in a certain player, they cashed out Desmond Bane too. So how much yep. do they think about that as they, you know, try to stay afloat until Ja gets back? All right. So Celtics drop 155 on the Pacers. Woo! They win by 51.
In regulation. My goodness.
That is brutal.
The Kings scored 176 in double overtime, and that was like the highest scoring
right.
game.
I mean,
we've
that
ever
that
seen.
Is
155 in regulation is nuts.
Celtics are kind of front runner ish to me.
Oh, for sure.
So I don't know how much I believe this is going to translate, but I do think that they got guys. When Jason Tatum's rolling, we've been waiting for Jason Tatum to take that next step. We've also been waiting for him to turn 24 because he's been 23 for what feels like about 6 years.
He's only 19.
He's only 19. So Jason Tatum is a guy who they've gone to the finals. They haven't been able to get over the hump. It feels unfair, and I've been on that side of being unfair to this tandem. They refuse to say no
yeah.
to this tandem. So is this going to be the year they're off to a hot start? And lastly, we just have something funny before we go to break. Pool boy alley-oops to Jacuzzi.
Boy.
They were down 20, and the Washington Wizards decide to throw an off-the-glass alley-oop. Here's how it sounds.
I don't know what kind of shot that was.
Jalen's pass picked off by Kuzma. Ahead of the pack is Poole, and he's going to lob it off the glass for Kuzma.
That made it a 19-point deficit.
Yeah, and that's cool. I personally didn't mind it because, hey, you paid to see.
Sure.
If they had messed it up, though, and Jordan Poole's already been on Shaq and a Fool yep. about three different times, if they had messed that up,
yeah.
I think that team would have just got sent to the G League, the whole team. The Washington Wizards would have two G League teams.
Yes, yeah. The Capital, I think it's the Capital Go-Go's
yeah.
and the, yeah, the Washington
They would just
Wizards.
Have to scrimmage against each other for the rest
Even
of the
Even though
season.
He made it, I could talk about this for like 3 hours. There is so much stuff
it
that
didn't
is
bother
funny.
Me, though.
Oh, it didn't bother
you,
me at all.
It was not a good decision. Like, it was, I personally wouldn't have done it. It doesn't feel like the right time or the right setting to do it when you're down 20. But, you know, that's definitely Jordan Poole for you.
But hold on now. We got to get to a break. But nowadays, is it worse to do that down 20 or up 20?
Some would tell you up 20. I mean, some would definitely tell you that's disrespecting the game and your
right.
opponent to do that when you're up 20. So, you know, and you know what? Shout out Jordan Poole, who is probably the epitome of keeping that same energy. Because
right.
I think he would do it up 20 the same way he would do it down 20.
They're going to be down 20 a lot. And he's going to be pulling up from
yeah.
33 feet and
oh,
throwing
yeah.
the Nick Young deuces out
oh,
there.
Oh, I hope so. I hope he does the shimmy like Kemba Walker. Shout out Kemba Walker. I heard he's balling out.
Again, this team might be my favorite yeah. team this year. It's going to
oh,
be so
goodness.
Funny.
Or as the Washington Wizards would say, they're only down 20.
They're only down 20. You did
Based on this
19.
Season, you're right.
And your style points takes it to, okay, you're still down 19, but it looked pretty. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are revisiting the keys from yesterday's game, the checklist. What did the Kings get done and where did they miss? And at 12:15, that's right, It's time. Beaming or dreaming. We're not going to do one for a little bit because they've had these big games against the Lakers and the Kings. We've been doing them. We're not going to do them this often normally. This will be the last beaming or dreaming until I'd probably say the road trip. So beaming or dreaming, 12:15. We'll get your thoughts. 12 o'clock when we get back, revisiting the keys from yesterday's game. Where did they do it? Where did they do it up? And where did they mess up? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.